Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Sometimes in life, when we think we have it all worked out and everything is where it should be, there's a dramatic shift. That's the case with Steve Lazar and his wife, Roz, who a few years back left their very secure Canadian teaching jobs for Africa. Mozambique, post-Civil War, in fact, to set up Zimpeto Ministries. Steve, thanks for joining us on Open House. How did that tectonic shift in your life take place?
I was school teaching in Toronto, Canada, and I heard the directors who had just begun the ministry in Canada, they were speaking at a conference about taking children off the streets of Mozambique. Just after the Civil War had finished. The ministry had just begun then, and we were so touched by their story way back then, we began to support them and keep in contact. And eventually we went out to visit two or three times in 1998 and 1999 before deciding to commit full-time, which we've been doing now since the year 2000.
Steve, Zimpeto Base is actually an accumulation of a bunch of different ministries, 35 missionaries, 150 Mozambican staff, 300 children being cared for, 400 patients a week in a clinic, 650 kids in day school. Describe the base geographically and physically for us.
Well, geographically, it's about 20 kilometres, or 10 kilometres outside of the main centre of the city, which is the capital city of Mozambique, which is called Maputo. And we're on a compound, which is about 15 acres in size. And we've put a wall around that compound. So inside the compound is the school, which is both for our children as well as for the community, as well as the accommodation for the children who live there. And for staff, the Western staff who live there, we have about 15 houses of different shapes and sizes. And then, of course, for the workers who are there, some who stay there overnight to care for the children, others like school teachers and maintenance and drivers and kitchen staff who come in each day.
You're not an orphanage specifically, are you? Are you temporary care? How do you describe your service for those children to families when they bring their kids to you?
Sure, we define our centre really as a children's care centre, if you like, an emergency care centre, and that is that we really believe that God created family. So if we're not a boarding school, we're not there for just children who are poor. We are there for children who are in need. So they may be orphaned, they may be come from an abusive situation, they may be abandoned, or they may come to us very, very sick. And they're the main, if you like, type of children that we take. And we take them sometimes for a year or two, if it's in the case of sickness, until they're strong. Our heart's always to reunite them with family. Not necessarily, if they don't have mother and father, then we will relocate them with older brother, uncle, grandmother, someone who can love and care for them and give them assistance in the home. So we may build them a house, provide them with a food box, milk, something that will help the child stay within the family. We used to have 550 children live with us, and now we're down to 260. We see that as a success because we're getting children back with their families. So the ones who live with us are the ones who don't have any alternative.
The baby house, describe that for us.
Well, the baby house is, as it's called, it's a house for babies. There are not many children's centres, certainly in Mozambique, that will care for babies because they need a very, very high staff to child ratio. So we have a baby house. We have really three baby houses. We have a nursery that caters for children up to 1 year of age. And we have eight babies in there with three carers. Then we have a baby house which covers from one to about four-year-old. And that's at capacity all the time, at about 40 children. And they have about nine carers who are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we have two small houses staffed by missionaries and carers that also look after babies, and that's probably our greatest need, is for baby care, because most other children's centres, you know, for the older children, we can have one adult with 20 children,
yeah.
But for the little ones, it's about 1 to 4 or 1 to 5.
Given the chronic unemployment in that area, how many of those babies left in your care are left by parents who have no other choice? And to what extent do those parents have access to their children in your care while they're there?
Yes, well, Mozambique, I wouldn't know the exact statistic, has very, very high unemployment because it's still recovering even from a civil war that finished over 20 years ago. Many of the adults, 30 years old and so on, haven't had education, so there's high unemployment. And so, again, we would not take a child simply because someone was unemployed. There would have to be a greater need than that. We would rather help the parent in the home with some type of care. In terms of access to the children, as long as there's not an abusive situation or a court order, we encourage our parents to visit their children. And if it's a sickness case, when the child is recovered or is at a point where they've put on a lot of weight, we will insist, if you like, that the child goes back to the family.
Tell us about the garbage dump.
The garbage dump is one of the foundations of the ministry, and that is when the ministry began. Many of the children came from the garbage dump, which is in between us and the main city. Again, the garbage dump has a very large community living around it, several thousand people, and they have built houses, some of just of straw, some of cement block. They live there, and they gain employment by working on the garbage dump, whether it's gathering up metal, plastic bottles, ink cartridges from computers, whatever it might be, so it provides them employment. So we have a church down there, and we go down there twice a week with food, with a medical team, and also always to preach the gospel. And then we send a truck to the garbage dump every Sunday for those who want to come to our centre for church, as well as for lunch. So we are very close to that community. We have a full-time pastor who works down with the people there, but they are a very happy community. Many times the government has tried to move people from living there, but because of community, most of them go back there as well as for employment.
The power of relationship overriding perhaps circumstance.
Absolutely. Relationship is what it's all about, whether it's cross-cultural relationship or whether it's relationship within their community. For example, we have constructed with a very generous donation a widow's house, which we could... you know, the Bible's very clear about caring for orphans and widows, and we've done very well on the orphan side. So we built a widow's house that we can easily take 10 widows. We have 2 widows there because the widows will not leave their communities. They would rather live in difficulty in their community where they know friends, they know people, than live in a much more beautiful setting, but away from their friends. So you're right, community is very, very important. And it's something that we as Australians can learn because we often live in our house and for 20 years don't know the neighbour. But in their culture and their country, community, neighbours, friends are of paramount importance.
Steve, when you think of the base and you think of your various outreach programs there, what faces and stories come to your mind?
Well, the faces and stories that come to mind is that, you know, as I said earlier, one of our catchphrases is stop for the one. And if we had 3 or 4 hours, I could tell you story after story. We have a little boy, three little boys who came in. They were 5, 7, and 9. And they came in because their parents had both died. The grandmother was unable to care for them. And so we took them in our care. They'd never been to school. The young 9-year-old very quickly showed that he loved to work. He loved to study. And got through school at a much quicker pace than normal. He has been with us about 12 years. In 2012, he began university, and they have done a lot of exploration of oil and gas and coal. In fact, Rio Tinto, Australian company, has invested hugely in Mozambique. They interviewed all the engineering students in this university looking for one young man or one person that they would take to be the representatives for Mozambique in their company. And they chose this young man, whose name is Araouj. And he now is a lovely Christian young man, serving God, but also now has a very, very responsible job as an engineer in Mozambique with this company. And see, the Bible says in Psalm 113, he's lifting the poor out of the dust to sit with kings and princes. And there's one example of a story of a young man without a hope, without a future, but Jesus is the hope of the nations. And we're seeing story after story of young men and young women without hope, without future, without family, find a hope in God, as well as a help in education and house building and so on.
I also understand that a couple of little lives that came to you as toddlers have now grown up to marry each other.
That's correct. Yes, we have in fact, in our own house where we live, we built a house on a compound many years ago. We have six children who live with us. We took them in as babies because the baby house was overcrowded. And it's now 14 years later. Those little babies are now 14 and 15-year-olds, and so we're all going through the adolescent stage together. Many of our young people grow up, and of course, like every society, they wish to marry. Mm-hmm. My own daughter, who's been with us now for about 7 years, or more, she has married a Mozambican youth. And so we have Mozambican grandchildren, and they are presently, they've been in Australia for 5 years. They've just gone back to Mozambique and are serving there as a nurse. And her husband, who's Mozambican, runs our hospitality department. We have about 800 visitors who come a year from all over the world. We have space for up to 50 visitors at a time. And Bertinho is his name. He cares for those visitors when they arrive, and we have a program for them.
Steve, when you and your wife first met the people behind Iris Ministries, those many years ago teaching in Canada, is this the way you anticipated your life turning out down the track? How is your life today surprising to you relative to where you thought you were going to be going in life?
That's a very good question. I never thought that I would be, if you like, a missionary. I was very happy as a school teacher and was progressing, and I loved teaching. I loved those who I was able to teach mathematics to. But I knew that when God was speaking to us through this couple, Heidi and Roland Baker, I knew that God was stirring my spirit and indeed my wife's spirit to do something different. And when we were 40, we resigned our jobs, and we wanted to make, if you like, a greater difference in the lives of others on a full-time, long-term basis. We didn't know whether we would have the resources and the skill to last more than a year, but through God's grace and the generosity of friends and family and churches, we've been able to continue to serve now for 14 years. All of our staff there are volunteers, all our Western staff, and through the generosity of churches in Australia and friends and family, we're able to continue to serve there.
Steve, as we wrap up this afternoon, what would you like us to understand about Iris Ministries, and in particular, your ministries at Zimpeto Base in Mozambique?
Well, as I get opportunity to share, both in Mozambique but across the world, I share that we're all called into missions work. I mean, I always thought missionaries were the children of missionaries, and they became missionaries, but we're all called into missions. Matthew 28 is a clear call to all believers to share the good news of Jesus with the lost and the poor, and that can be in Sydney, Australia, or it can be in the garbage dump of Mozambique, but God has a mission field for all of us. We simply need to find out where is that mission field, and when we know where it is, run to it. There are people right across our own community here in Australia, as well as to the furthest parts of the earth, who are in desperate need, who are poor in body, but also poor in spirit, and we believe the answer comes in Jesus, and we carry that as missionaries. So my word to the listeners and to the church in Australia is support missions locally, nationally, and internationally in any way that you can by giving, but also by going. I come to Australia each year to encourage people to come and visit, if not possible, to Mozambique, to mission fields right across Asia, even into the centre of Australia. It will change your life forever.
Steve Lazar, Run to It has really stuck with me. Thanks for your time, my friend. And irisglobal.org. And if you'd like to know more about Steve's ministries in particular, /Zimpetto, you'll find more on our website, openhousecommunity.com.au, right now. Bless you, Steve. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for your time. God bless.